All right, welcome back, Freedom Chasers. In this episode, we sit down with John Schuett, a seasoned entrepreneur who's on a mission to empower individuals to break free from mediocrity and live their most extraordinary lives. With 4 years of sales experience and over 4,000 hours of dedicated mental work under his belt, John has honed his craft in helping others clarify their visions and transform them into compelling realities. Tune in as John shares his insights on unleashing the power of clarity and intention, turning dreams into finely crafted blueprints for success. John, I'd love to just kick this thing off, man. I know you work with entrepreneurs all the time, and you've been doing so for some time. What do you think most entrepreneurs are getting wrong about their vision?
That's a really good question. Also, most epic intro ever. That was awesome. Like, that makes me sound way better than I actually am.
That's my job, John. That's my job.
Yeah, that was awesome. So what are most people getting wrong about their vision? So I've done a bunch of market research. Like, I hop on calls with people all the time, and literally for the purpose of just asking questions, not to sell anything. And I just ask them questions, and on average, everyone who I've talked to, when I say, on a scale of 1 to 10, how clear are you on your vision? And I give an example. The example is, like, if it's 10 out of 10 on, you know, let's say the car you want, I would say, I'll just walk you through it. Like, so on a scale of 1 to 10, how clear are you on your vision? 1 to 10 in one area of your life, 10 being, you know, I'll walk you through what 10 is. And then one being, I have no idea, or, you know, I kind of have an idea of what my vision is. Where do you land? And then the example I give is, let's say you want to get a car. This is just one area of life. This isn't all areas of life. 10 out of 10 on my next car is, I want a 2015 Jaguar XKR. It's black with chrome accents. It has a 5.0 liter V8 supercharged engine. It costs about $31,000. I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but it costs about $31,000. I'm going to add 8% to the purchase price, assuming that I'm going to buy warranties, or let's say it goes up for some reason. The price goes up for some odd reason. So I'm going to add 8% to that. So it's going to make it $34,000. Okay. And I'm going to finance that through my own life insurance. So I'm going to take a loan out against my life insurance. I believe that's around 2% a year. And the life insurance earns on average 12% a year. So my money will still be making money while I own the car. I'm just borrowing against my own money. So I have to have $42,000 in my life insurance, because you can only borrow 80% of the cash value. So that's how I'm going to finance it. Now, I also went and found out what the insurance is for somebody my age. It comes out to about $215, but I have tickets and I am a naughty driver. So I'm likely going to be around the 350 mark for my insurance, because right now it's 270 on a much, like, whenever you go up in the speed and horsepower, you go up in insurance. So a good chunk of the time. So I've figured out the insurance. I'm going to have $350 for that. And I'm also going to pay my insurance, my life insurance, $600 a month for my car. Now, the car that I want is very, very specific. There's only one that exists in the United States. It's extremely rare to find a XKR with the racing seats that have white stitching. It's always red stitching. I want white stitching. I want what I want. I'm not going to settle for less. So that comes out to $1,400 a month in expenses, including the $6,000 a year that I have to have set aside in a separate savings account, because once every 3 months, there's going to be about $1,500 of maintenance, including general maintenance. But usually it's Jaguars. Something expensive breaks all the time. So I know I'm going to have money set aside for it. And I've done all this research. I've watched all these videos. The sound of the exhaust is like 43 decibels, which is around, actually it's like a couple decibels louder than a 2013 Ferrari California. Like, I know everything about the thing that I want to create. I know how I'm going to finance it. I also know that I need to have $2,800 in free cash flow after taxes each month, because I'm going to buy it twice. I'm going to buy the car, and then I'm going to take all the money that I'm dumping into the car every month, and I'm going to put it into an investment vehicle. which is likely going to be more life insurance just because it's easy. Because my investment vehicles are art and cars, and I don't have enough money to buy, you know, a collection of Ferraris because I invest in what I understand. But I understand life insurance, I understand art, and I understand cars. So that's like 9.8 out of 10 clarity. And whenever I ask people on a scale of 1 to 10, how, and if that's 10 out of 10, let's say, 10 out of 10 would be that level of clarity in all areas of your life. Man, the sun's coming out right now. But good thing you told me that most of your people just listen.
Yeah, that's
so. 10 out of 10 would be that level of clarity in every area of your life. Whenever I say that to people, people usually give me a 3 or a 4. Most people do not have that level of clarity in what they want to create. So whenever you ask me, what are entrepreneurs getting wrong in terms of their vision? There's two things. It's their level of clarity, and most people don't have a way to pressure test if what they want is really what they want. Because usually what we want, like, I'll give you a very specific example that's been on my mind. I think of like a real estate investor as like this buff white guy who goes to the gym and he has a nice, you know, good looking family. He lives in an upper middle class neighborhood. He invests in real estate and he looks like every other real estate investor you've ever met in your entire life. They all look the exact same. There's nothing unique about it. And people are like, oh yeah, that's my vision. Oh, your vision is to be just like a million other people? How unique is that? Like, really? Like, most of the things that people want, like the shit that I want, most people don't even know exists. Yeah. I had to go find out that it exists so that I could want it. And I'm not saying that my vision's better than yours. That's not the idea. But it's that you, most people settle because they don't have reality on what they can have. Most people take a path of mediocrity, and it's just the highest path of mediocrity. They don't have a vision. Here's another thing. Most people, when they set goals, they're like, oh, once I'm here, I'll be comfortable. I'll be set. You know, they have like a retirement number, an income number. And all they're doing is they're choosing a higher plateau. Right now, they're at a plateau where they're not growing. And they're just choosing a higher plateau where they can say, hey, I'm comfortable not growing anymore. And they say, oh, I'm always going to be growing. And, you know, that extra 1% and all that kind of bullshit. But like, again, that's what everybody says, but they don't actually do it, first of all. And second of all, whenever you're looking at a vision, it needs to be painful for you not to work on it. Like, the way you know that if you're there is you can't stop working. And your family life is good. And everything else is good. Like, everything's good. And you just can't stop working. You can't stop creating. Because a vision, sight, your vision is your level of sight, foresight into the future. And if you're 3 out of 10, it means you're blind. If you're 5 out of 10, if you're 8 out of 10, if you were 16-16 vision, you'd be legally blind, I'm pretty sure, right? Because 20-20 is good vision, right?
Yeah.
So, like, if you're that level of clear on your vision, you're only a 6 out of 10, you're only a 5 out of 10, you are blind. And then people come to me and they're like, well, John, this is great. I'm just going to go get that level of clarity on my vision. Well, you're blind right now. So what you're telling me is that you want you, who's blind, to lead you, who is also blind. That is the blind leading the blind. And that's what most people get wrong with their vision. Like, I hire as many coaches as I can and as many mentors as I can, because that's, like, you need perspective. You don't, like, and it's not for them to tell you what to want. Most people do that. They tell you, like, they hire somebody to tell them what kind of business model they should want. And what kind of, you know, lead getting system they should want. And what, you know, what kind of account structure they should want for the, no, you should go pick that out yourself. You should go know, you shouldn't know so little about money and business that you have to have other people tell you what to do. The whole point of business is you have to go teach yourself. All of it. All of it. Most people hire out too soon because they're too lazy to learn the things that they need to know. And that's all coming from a lack of vision. The reason why I can, like, roast people on that is because I work 10 hours a day now. I got clear on my vision and I literally can't stop working, and I'm learning every single piece of my business. In 6 months, there will be nothing about my business that I will not know. Right now, I don't know it because I started it 3 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
So of course, there's going to be some things. Like, I just learned how to set up a legal agreement. I learned how to set up, you know, like, I got 16 different ways to collect cash. So if my processor goes down, I have PayPal, I have Wise, I have Cash App, I have Venmo. Like, somebody can pay me money. I bet most people don't have, like, I dude, this was crazy. This blows my mind. I know I'm going on a total tangent here, but I talked to somebody, I think it was yesterday, and they only had one way to collect and send money. Like, if you want money coming to you, you should have every form of money available. You should be able to accept checks, accept Bitcoin, accept money in different currencies. You, like, there should not be a logistical objection on your own end. And people think it's okay. Why can't someone buy a house in Bitcoin? You know, if you're doing real estate, like, if that's how they do it, you know, but I don't know. That's what I think people get wrong with vision, is they don't know what it means. They think of it as some vague idea of some goals I set. No, like, the way you can tell if you have vision, because, like, let me ask you, Tim. If you were 10 out of 10 clear on your vision, meaning that you could see the path ahead of you, that's what clear vision is. You're not blind anymore. Do you think you'd move faster?
Without question, man. Without question. I'm actually finally getting there. It's taken me a very damn long time, but I have a clear vision of what I want to do and the steps I need to take. Finally. But
and are you moving faster because of that?
Dude, 1,000 times faster. Like, it's not even close, because when you don't know what you want to do, you just try everything. And nothing works then, because you're doing 100 things at once, and you're constantly just on a hamster wheel because you never do anything long enough for it to work right.
Yeah. And the challenge is, like, let's say I'm going to use men as an example because I'm a man, so I can't pretend to be a woman. Last time I did that, I got in trouble, so I'm not going to pretend to be a woman. But as men, like, let's say we want to attract women to our life. A woman, like, a man will bend to the will of a woman to the degree he is not clear on his own vision and purpose. Like, you have all these men who have all these women in their life. They're like, oh, yeah, she's the boss. Oh, yeah, I do what she says. I have to constantly apologize and pander to her and make her happy. She's supposed to support you with your vision and purpose. If you don't have one, then, of course, she's going to start wearing the pants in the family, because she's got to make up for the pants that you aren't wearing. And, like, that's it, like, it befuddles me. Women love whenever a man is on his purpose. No woman says, oh, man, I wish I had a weaker man to love and lead me. No That's woman for sure. said that ever. Or I don't want to date those women. They exist, but I don't want to be around them. Like, so it's not like just a men talking to men thing. Like, all the women I talk to want men that have vision. All of the people. Like, if you, let me ask you another question. If you're running a business and let's say you're like 6 out of 10 on your vision, or let's say you're getting on a plane and you walk up to the pilot and you're like, hey, pilot, on a scale of 1 to 10, how good is your vision? He's like, 6 out of 10. Would you
get
stay
the
on that
fuck
flight?
Off the plane?
Yeah.
All right, man. See you later.
So most people don't have a clear vision for themselves and their business. If your vision is 6 out of 10 and your leaders, you're the leader, do you think the people who you are leading are going to have confidence in continuing to build your vision?
Absolutely not.
They can only be like, what's the thing? Like, somebody can only remember or like comprehend or whatever it is. Like, something only sticks 80% of how you portray it. And if you're portraying 6 out of 10, that means that they're going to be performing 4 out of 10. And then you wonder why you don't have a bunch of A players. You aren't an A player in your own business. You can't be. You can't outperform your vision. If somebody comes to me and they says, oh, yeah, I'm like 8 out of 10 on my performance, but 4 out of 10 on my vision, bullshit. You're most certainly lower than a 4 out of 10 on your performance. And you know it. And you're lying to yourself. You're certainly 8 out of 10 on the little baby version of your vision that you put together to make yourself feel good and make yourself feel like you're making progress really quickly. For sure. I've done that a lot. Just sitting there lying to myself, procrastinating, making myself feel like I'm moving when I'm not. And that's the challenge, is it's really difficult. That's people say, like, why can't I just do this on my own? Because, and this is actually the 10K deal I closed yesterday. first 10 grand deal I've had in my business so far. He and I were on a podcast, and at the end of the podcast, like he said on the podcast, he's like, dude, I need to talk to you about working with you right after this podcast. We'd already had a sales call before. And the thing that triggered him off to want to buy from me right then and there is that he doesn't have anybody talking to him like this. Most people don't have some, like, look, I don't have everything perfect. I know I got a lot of areas in my life that are a mess, and it's perfectly fine. Like, to be on this podcast today, I would have not made it here almost were I a lesser man. And I'm not saying like I'm a big, great man. That's not what I'm trying to suggest. Okay. It's just like, if I didn't have the intention to be here, I wouldn't be here, because 4 days ago, my car broke down in the middle of nowhere, New Mexico, Santa Rosa, New Mexico.
And I saw that.
It's broke. Yeah. And the engine's done. And I, instead of trying to like stay, most people would stay back and with their car and wait until it was fixed and then continue their trip. I'm moving too fast. I got to get that shit out of my way. I abandoned my car. Maybe it'll get fixed. Maybe it won't. Whatever happens, happens. And yes, I still have debt on the car and I'm still making payments, but no, I'm moving on. It's cool. It's, I got what, 9 grand of debt. The car's worth 6 grand. It's a cheap car, right? Like what? I'm going to let 9 grand of debt and the mental burden I have attached to that keep me from being here with you right now? Like, I was late to this because I was actually shooting a testimonial for a friend, which nobody would know if I didn't say that, but I'm honest. I was late. I was late by 2 minutes, and then we had technical issues, right? And what was really interesting is I know what I would have, because okay, here's another thing. 3 years ago, here's how the mind works. The mind will continue to re-stimulate and recreate the things that are in it.
Yeah.
3 years ago, I broke down in Santa Rosa, the exact same town.
No shit, really?
Yes. I had to stay overnight. My car actually flew off the road. You know that 3 years ago, there was this big snowstorm that went through Texas that knocked out all their power?
I remember that.
It was a big thing on the news. I was driving through that in my 2013 Hyundai Sonata. And I spun out. I was going 70 and the ice was this thick on the road. I spun out and I knocked out a tree and I was stuck in the snow. And I had to get rescued. And I, three times, actually. And I spun out in the middle of a highway in heavy traffic and I didn't die. I mean, I'm in the middle of like semis and cars going 70 miles an hour and I spin out and nobody hit me. It was insane. But that's a different time later down the road. But in Santa Rosa, yeah, I spun off the road, like within 50 miles of where I spun off the road previously, or my car broke down this time. But basically I re-stimulated the exact same thing because that's where my focus was. I was thinking about that the whole time I was driving, boom, recreated it. You will get exactly what you focus on.
It's exactly what anxiety is, man. That's exactly like anxiety, panic disorder.
You create
disorder.
The thing you're anxious about.
I was in a car accident, man. It fucked my life up for like 18 months. And then it was very difficult to even be in a car because I was constantly thinking about it. All I had to do, man, was drive like 700 hours in a state of panic. No big deal. And eventually I got over it.
Yeah. Yeah, that is definitely one way. There are ways we can get rid of it in like 3 or 4 hours. But like that's definitely, it's still effective.
So see, not everybody's as smart as you, John. I just have to say it's funny because, you know, usually I don't let people talk as much as you. But you're a tremendously interesting person, which is why I was still listening. Because I was like, damn, these are damn good concepts. I'm enjoying this. And I'm not even saying a damn word. and it just brings me back because I remember like when I met you, dude, like it was a sales call, right? Or a discovery call. You mentioned that you talk to people and you ask questions all the time. And then sales process is the most memorable sales process I've ever been a part of. Like you setting the appointment for your guy, Dylan. I'm just like, damn, that was a transformative experience. And they were just like, it was a sales.
It was like a 45 minute call just for the set too.
It was interesting,
it was,
man.
It was wild.
I want to double back to a point you made because I finally found somebody to tell me to slow the fuck down, which is probably what most entrepreneurs need in general. Luckily for me, she used to, you know, coach Fortune 500 CEOs, and she sees something in me and she's like, basically I'm like, hey Regina, I want to do this, and she's like, no, slow the fuck down, you have an event on Tuesday, get people there, why are you thinking about stuff after the event? And like, that is really all I needed somebody to get me to slow down, look at the details as well as the big picture, and actually do the detail work, because a lot of entrepreneurs, they just want to have the vision. They don't want to do the work, right? They want to think of their next idea and everything like that. Question I wanted to ask you is, like, if you're blind, getting led by the blind, like, how do you find sight at all?
Well, that's a long ass question, because that's like the work that I do. It's not like something I, there's not a thing I can tell somebody that's going to clear it up for them, because the first step of knowing how to solve a problem is knowing where you are. And that literally means I'm sitting in a chair on a deck in Layton, Utah. I'm like, what, 20 minutes from Salt, 25 minutes from Salt Lake City. I don't know my exact coordinates, but like finding where you are in time and space and understand, like, and statistically and like in your bank account, most people don't want to look at every single penny. When people work with me, before I let them spend money with me, I go through all of their accounts. I go through all their bank accounts, their credit card accounts, their investment accounts. I go through all of the debt and all of the cash that they have, because I'm like, I get the whole like, yeah, get everybody emotional and get them to buy. No, nobody is going to refund. And the way I know that is because I made sure that it was 100% the best decision. And it's the same thing in getting clear. Like, the first thing that you need to do is know where you are. And when you know where you are, then, because like, imagine like your goals is the X mark on a map. But if you don't know where you are, then it doesn't rightly matter where the X mark is. You don't know how to get there. And everybody skips that step. They're like, I just want to start moving. But they don't know where their goal is in relation to them, because they don't know where they are.
Mm-hmm.
And they would love to believe that they do. But unfortunately, it's untrue. You know, like, most of the time, if you're 3, 4 out of 10 on your vision, you're most certainly a 1 or 2 on knowing where you are. And whenever we're looking at like a vision, like, I think doing detailed work all along the timeline makes sense. I don't think just doing detailed work now makes sense, because you were like a lot of people have a vision, but they don't work on it. No, they don't have a vision. If they had a vision, they'd be working on it. If they could see, they would move. But most people's sight is right here, spiritually, mentally, physically. They can't think much further than what's in front of them. And because they can't think much further than what's in front of them, it doesn't rightly matter what actions they're taking. They can't gain momentum. Not because of the lack of action. They could be, you ever see someone put in a shit ton of work, lots and lots of effort, and get nowhere?
Yes, I've been that person. It's a
fucking
horrible experience. Yeah.
Yes, you're on a treadmill. The treadmill comes because you don't know where you're going and you can't see in front of you. And because you can't see in front of you, if you were like a 4 out of 10 on your vision and you're driving a car, would you feel very comfortable going fast?
No.
Right. So that's the thing. That's the thing. It's like, how do we clear that up? You know, like, I'm 8 out of 10 on my vision. I haven't done all the detail work of everything, because right now I'm in the middle of finding out where I am. And I'm like probably a 7 out of 10 on that. And the reason why I say that is because I know where my finances are. I know where all my money is. I know where it's going for the most part. It's not perfect. That's about 9 out of 10 on that one. And I know what work I want to be doing. Like, I want to be on podcasts and I want to be doing JVs with people, like hopping on guest presentations. That's where I thrive. Ever since I was 11, I was a speaker. And it scares me. It scared me then. It doesn't scare me now, actually, which is interesting, because like, on the two presentations I've done so far, like, I didn't do well in terms of organization. Mm-hmm. I was able to improvise and make it look good. But like, I had to go do the presentation to see what my problems were. And it turned out that the thing that I thought was going to be an hour was 3 hours long. So, yeah. And everybody stayed. Everybody
first.
Stayed.
Okay.
Everybody
there you go.
Stayed.
Well, yeah. That's a good sign.
Well, I didn't have time. I didn't have time to do a test run. Like, I've been running as fast as I can. So I set the event where I was speaking like 5 days out, and I put together 300 slides. I think it was 368 slides in 5 days. I wrote like effectively a 40-page like presentation in
There you
5 days, right? So when I'm talking about vision, like I just like I didn't do that because I was scared of not making it. I knew I was going to make it, no matter what, and it was the intention. Because there's a difference between wanting and intention. Do you know what that is?
No.
Okay, so whenever you want something, you say, I want this, let's say it's money, just to keep it simple. Let's say, I want money. What are you also saying? By definition, if you want something.
You don't have it.
Right. And do you believe that whenever you put energy into the universe, it comes back to you? If you put out good, you get good back. If you put out bad, you get bad back.
I okay. do.
So if you're putting out the energy of I want, you're putting out the energy of I don't have. Therefore, you get back the energy of I don't have. And people keep going in the cycle of wanting, wanting, wanting. Do I sound like I want anything in my tone of voice right now? Can you feel
Absolutely
that from me
not.
Energetically?
No.
Right.
You just
I'm going to
seem cool.
intend
Yeah,
to go
you're
get
chill.
it. Yeah. Right. But like, I don't want anything. And it's not because I have everything. I don't have everything I need. Because like, just in terms of numbers, I need $30 million to feel like I can relax. That's how much I need. I've done all the math. I did a long time ago. I could do it again. That's where it's like 8 out of 10. Some of my stuff needs updating. But I know like my lifestyle, I want to be at $100,000 a month. I've already priced out all the things that go into that. I want to own a small plane that I fly that has maintenance. I have a house. I want to own 200,000 acres in Montana. I already picked out land that is 200,000. It's like 184,000. So it's close. You know, I'd say that's close enough. I'm not going to find a chunk of land that big anywhere else. I might, but I want it in Montana. So I've got everything priced out for what I want, but it's not perfect. Right. And that's why I say I'm 8 out of 10, because I know what perfect is. And the clarity of your vision is equal to the speed of your creation. And the reason why I know I don't have 10 out of 10 clarity is because I don't create immediately, but I do create goddamn fast. It's insane. When you're clear on your vision and then you remove all the infatuations at once and you can just intend, you remove the fears, you remove the infatuations. You just have intention. Okay. I'm not afraid of not having the goal. I'm not afraid of what happens if I don't have the goal. And I'm also not attached to getting the goal. I don't care if I get it or not. I'm happy dying poor. I personally am happy dying poor. I'm okay with that. I will likely die poor, honestly. Like, I don't care. I just, it doesn't matter to me. It's not like my biggest thing isn't money. I have to like build a vision that causes me to make lots of money.
That's a damn good point. Anybody chasing money is bound to find something that they don't
well,
want at the end of the tunnel.
If you're chasing money, what is the money doing?
Well,
If
it's
you're
creating
chasing
a, it's
money,
creating a,
it's running
it's
away. It has to run away for you to chase it.
Well, shit. I mean, that's good. Yeah, I was going to
say,
well, it's creating a lack of something too, because you're constantly looking for more. You're never going to get there.
Yeah.
And that's also just a fact of life, especially in the business world. It's like anybody thinking they're going to arrive is never going to arrive, because you change as you get there, right? So the arrival never comes.
Arrive.
Okay.
So for some, they do, and that's those billionaires that you see kill themselves. Like I like the one of the things that like made me want to do my business, because what I do is I do all the vision work, but like what I want to be doing, and like I got to go get a bunch of clients to stack enough cash to figure out how to do this, because it's hard, but it's high end vision boards. So not only do I have to have the skills, because like, okay, I don't share this with most people, but like whenever I'm doing mental work with people, if I do it for long enough, and I have good enough, you know, affinity and I'm connected with the person well, I can see exactly what they see in their mind to the detail.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason why I think doing vision boards is good is because most people can't actually translate that themselves, because they don't have any art skills. And whenever you're creating a vision board, 100% of everybody I've ever talked to says, here's their exact words, verbatim. Everything I put on my vision board came true. And I say, 100% of it? And they say, yeah, all of it. And I'm like, holy shit. So I'm like, what if we could do that, but for the vision that you really want? Because most people, like, you spend 2 years working towards the stuff on your vision board, and then you realize it's not what you want, and you just wasted 2 years. What if we could spend 2 years figuring out what you want in this lifetime at least, and 80, 90% of it is exactly what you want because you did the work up front? And that's the idea, is like, if we can get rid of the doubt of whether or not we want it, and we can remove the need to have it, and we can pressure test it, then whenever we go to execute, we don't think. We just do all day. When you're in a flow state, you don't think. Right, Tim?
Absolutely, man. And finally, well, that's actually part to your point earlier. When you don't have a vision, you're constantly thinking all the time. And then you think, and then there's doubt when there is thought, right? Yeah. If you could remove
thinking, how do we get all the thoughts out?
Yeah.
Yeah. How do we get all the thoughts out in the beginning? And then just create, because like, there's two, do you know what the two kinds of vision are? There's only two that are actually effective.
Hit me, you know, man, what they I are. Don't know. I've never had many questions asked to me, but
we
I'm
have
still
8 minutes
the
left, by
so
the way.
Going. I know. Let's keep going. It's cool.
No, we have 8 minutes left on the Zoom. So you might want to upgrade while I'm talking. Okay.
I can do that. I can upgrade while we're talking.
Or we can end at 8 minutes. It's totally cool. But the, and I'm getting this from interviewing. I've interviewed one lady who's 100 million. I have a friend who's 50 million a year in revenue, which is like 15 million in income. Mm-hmm. And these are my mentors. And I have all these people who I'm learning from. And then I've also interviewed people who are completely poor. I've interviewed everybody on the spectrum so that way I could get a bunch of data. And the two kinds of vision, and I've also listened to great podcast to listen to is Founders Podcast. I mm-hmm. listen to it incessantly. It's how I study. Like, I just listen to that. And what I'm doing is I'm compiling every belief you can have. Because like, somebody, not everybody's vision is financially based. So you basing all of your, like, I'm getting all the financial beliefs from that podcast. But then I've got to go interview people who are really good at dating. What are all of their beliefs around dating? And then I got to go interview a bunch of people who have a really good family life. What are their beliefs around family? And then, like, the whole idea of working with me is like, how do we shop for the right beliefs that lead you to become the person that creates the vision that you want? Because that's what comes after the vision board. You know, we get the vision board. That's like 10, 15, 20 grand. And then let's get a personal identity board. Who do we have to become? You know, and then we represent everything in there. Oh, look at that. Unlimited minutes. Oh, my God.
Well, yeah, I did it because I'm interested. Well, actually, that actually drives up a question, though, man, because when you said like you need to know where you are. And I think a lot of the cloudy vision for me is I didn't quite know who I was yet. So it's hard to know where the fuck you are if you don't know who you are. So like, how important is knowing who you are?
It's not.
That's an interesting direction, John.
Yeah, because we put so much emphasis on who we are. I did this my whole life. I got offended when people told me I had to dress better or dress differently. I got offended because I'm like, oh yeah, well, you know, being laid back is who I am, you know, or like whenever I'm like, because I say the most obscene, wild shit in private. Like, I won't say it on podcast. Not everybody needs to hear that, but I say the wildest shit. And it's like, hey, you should tone it down. And I'm like, oh, that goes against my personality. First of all, personality isn't real. That's not a real thing. Okay. You have things that you have affinity for that you like that you then, you know, design yourself to move towards. And then you have things that you don't like that you then design yourself to move away from. And then there's a whole this is a whole different podcast, dude. Because it's a huge, it's a big rabbit hole. But what we're all sold is that we have personalities and we have disorders and we have diseases that we can have. And if we're a certain personality type, we have a certain way that we are, and that it's not something that we can change, and that our personality is attached to our brain and all that. But you're not your brain. You're not your body. You're a spiritual being. You have a brain. You have a body. Okay. Whenever you don't say this is, I am elbow. You know, you don't say I am brain. You say I have a brain. Your brain is how you as a spirit interface with your body. But your brain, there are people who have been born without a brain who were perfectly functional and had a proper IQ. Okay? How is that possible?
I had no idea that was a thing.
I didn't either. I've seen videos of it, and if you ask me to go find a video, it's going to be really hard because, like, my old mentor showed it to me. But
that is freaking wild. That's what I say. It goes
yes.
against all the way everybody thinks, honestly. I mean, it goes
yes.
against everything.
You're a being driving a body, okay? And if you're a being driving a body, your body is the thing with the identity. So whenever you're trying to figure out who you are, it's rather, who do I want to be to achieve the things that I want? Because if we zoom out on a longer time scale, you are an infinite being. What that means is you don't die, okay? Your body dies, and then you pick out another body. Do it again. You play this year, or this lifetime, I'm playing the Tim game. Next lifetime, I might be a pirate in the 1600s and living through that, because I'm sure this is where personality comes from. Like, whenever people are like, nature or nurture, the whole nature thing is you just have a bunch of memories in your mind, stored in your mind, that it's really hard to access them if you don't know how, from past lives. But like, what my mentor, he tells me the story all the time. It's great. He's like, I worked with a guy who had glasses since he was a kid. And he had no idea why he had glasses, but we dug into it. I ran him through a process, and we found out that in a past life, he was a pirate, and he died because a sword was slashed across his eyes. And then he died. And now he has this like mental stuff that's attached to his physical body part of eyes. And now he doesn't have clear eyesight.
Mm-hmm.
Most people would say, oh, just get some LASIK and solve the surface level problem. You don't actually handle anything that's causing the problem. But that's like all the mental work that I do. I do 3 to 4 hours of mental work a day. I haven't gone through past life stuff, so don't ask me about that right now. But I will at some point. But it's really interesting because the entire way that the system is designed is to make you believe that you're a body, and that you have a personality, and that you have personality traits, and that you can get things like ADHD and depression and all that. In the 1950s, there was no such thing as ADHD or depression. They were manufactured and created because do you believe that if you believe you are something, you become that thing?
Yeah.
Okay. So before, nobody was depressed. Maybe they had symptoms of depression, like feeling sad doesn't mean you're depressed. Feeling heavy doesn't mean you're depressed. It just means that you have a memory that has some emotion attached to it. If you remove the emotion from the memory, then you stop being sad. I do this all day with people. This is like, I watch them go from sad to immediately right back to themselves. Your natural state is a fun, loving, spiritual being, having fun and being playful and doing whatever and just hanging out and creating your vision. That's your natural state. Everything else is either a belief that's been sold to you, like the pharmaceutical company sells you on the belief that you can have depression, and then you have depression. You're like, oh, I feel sad sometimes, so I must be depressed. And then depression, ADHD, bipolar, all this stuff is just marketing for them to sell you drugs for the problem that they told you that you could have. Because whenever you start feeling some sort of way, you want to ascribe meaning to it. So they give you a meaning. They literally serve you up on a silver platter. Here's the meaning you can have with that feeling you have. And then you start pulling mental weight to that thing, and then you start causing yourself to become more and more depressed because you believe that you can be. And then they sell you drugs. And it makes them money.
Of course they do.
Yeah.
And of course, it's a lifetime prescription plan. You need
That's
to
why
do
I don't
this
believe
for
in
the
therapy.
Rest of your life. You need to do this forever, or else you're going to go crazy, right?
That's why I don't believe in therapy, because therapy is a subscription model.
Certainly is.
Why would, if you got better, why would you need to keep going?
Well, that's the thing. They get paid to make sure you don't get better.
Exactly. That's the whole thing. So I don't know why we went on that. I don't know where we were before, to be honest with you.
I don't know. I think the question was how important is knowing who you are. But I mean, I think we're going in a super interesting direction, because, you know, the first time we talked, man, I was diagnosed bipolar, and my brain certainly has elevated brainwave activity at times. And sometimes it has depressed brainwave activity, but it was
so
beneficial.
But if you're not a brain,
Yeah. Well, if I'm not a brain, so I mean, I'm not quite at your level yet, John, but I'm moving closer to it,
Sure.
right? What I'm trying to say,
Yeah.
man, is like
Yeah. It's
removing
good.
the label, dude, was so damn important. I was like, I'm not bipolar. I mean, fuck that. It fell off. It doesn't matter. It doesn't,
Yes.
I don't give a shit what's going on up there. I just don't anymore. And yeah, sometimes there's ups and downs, but you know, it's not mania. It's not depression, man. It's just me. And it's fine. I'm just going to keep going. And I slowly get better at just reframing the way I see it. And that has actually changed the way that my physical body works because I see it differently. I see it more clearly.
Ups and downs are normal.
Yeah.
You signed up whenever you were a spiritual being and picking out which body you were going to live in. You knew that no matter which body you picked out, it was going to be a roller coaster because that's what makes it exciting. If you only went up and to the right, it would get boring. If you only went down and to the right, it would get boring. It has to have ups and downs for it to be exciting, for it to be a game. And whenever you, as a spiritual being, decided to populate a body, you wanted to make sure it was going to be interesting. Some people have it too easy and they kill themselves because it gets boring. That's what they needed to experience this lifetime. Some people are homeless and never accomplish anything. That's what they needed to experience this lifetime. But whatever you chose in this lifetime, it has ups and downs. It's not bipolar. You just feel some stuff. You feel some stuff.
You just feel some stuff. Yeah, I guess when I was a spiritual being, I was looking for a challenge that time. My past life must have been too damn easy, John. But I'm figuring it out, man. And honestly, man, I wouldn't change anything for the world because of the challenge, because it was extremely challenging to figure it out, right? But now that I am figuring it out, in retrospect, it doesn't look that hard. I'm like, yeah, you just had to stop fucking thinking about all the shit they tell you to think about. And you know, there
Exactly.
are certainly coping mechanisms and stuff like that I've had to develop, but honestly, I mean, it's just whatever, shit's fine, man. Like, shit's fine.
It's just stuff and things. But to your question, if you're so infatuated with your personal identity, it allows you to become, because you're saying I am this, and then when people say things to you, like, okay, I'll use two polar opposites. Let's say me. I just don't care. I'm just gonna I choose to be a blank slate, so that way I just pick out the beliefs that I want. I go shopping for them, and then I just choose to be the person who I need to be for my goals rather than the person I want to be. I don't give a fuck what I want to be. Who cares? That's me. That's one extreme, right? Let's say the other extreme is like some woke person who's got like, purple hair, and like who they are is really, really important to them. And they have this whole list of things that they are, like I don't have anything against like people who believe these things, but it can be detrimental whenever it's like your whole identity. Like, I am, I don't know, transgender, bisexual, and I am, somebody who believes in these things, and that, the government should take care of me, and that whenever I'm confronted with things, I should run away. That's what, getting offended is, and like pulling, whatever card it is, someone pulls. You have this whole list of things which you identify as, which means that anything that goes against your personal identity is then an attack on you. I still get offended sometimes because, like, I have an ego that I got to work through. Like, I still got shit I'm working through. Like, I literally had a conversation with my friend Dylan, hang out with him all the time. I'm like, Dylan, what are my blind spots right now? And he's like, you're getting arrogant. And I'm like, cool. So I'm gonna go clear some charge on being infatuated with, being right all the time and having people think that I'm awesome and all that kind of shit. And I'll be more neutral on it, and I share this with you because like I don't want to be arrogant. That's not like I don't want to be anything. I just want to be what gets me to where I want to go, because it's the where I want to go that is the that's that is the experience of life. It is the journey, right? And if I'm so infatuated with who I want to be that I get offended every time somebody says something to me, I'm not really working on anything very important. The only thing I'm ever really working on is how can I find more ways to be offended and then find other people who create a safe space for me to not be offended. And that's my entire focus of my life, is just all of my identities, all the things that I identify as. What if you stopped identifying as anything other than who you needed to be to reach your goals? That's what I'm doing currently. It's hard.
That's how you reach your goals, right?
Right.
That's how
But
you do
like,
it. It's like, because we could add or remove any label we want to, essentially. I mean, it just takes becoming a new person.
or you just decide. Like, I have a whole list of beliefs, which I've gathered from millionaires and billionaires and people who I look up to. I wouldn't say look up to, because whenever you look up to somebody, it means that you aren't, it's the same thing as wanting. You're saying, I'm not them. I don't have the same capabilities and skills and beliefs as them. I try and level the playing field mentally. You know, like I was talking to, so this is a huge tip if you're ever talking to wealthy people. Like, wealthy people are used to people ogling over them. Same with really hot girls. Money is like girls. Lots of money is like hot girls. Little money is like no girls or ugly girls, right? And women hate it. Like, they love it. They love the attention
Yep.
of people ogling over them. But that is not what attracts them. Women want a man who doesn't need them. Money is attracted to somebody who doesn't need it. And whenever you're talking to somebody who's wealthy, like in the 9 to 10 figure range, like I had my, she brought me like $1 million art deal that I'm currently in the middle of. So if you know anybody, if anybody on here wants to buy $1 million Jackson Pollock, it's a private sale. And it's not fully authenticated. So it's on sale right now.
Plug away,
and if you want to, you know, get it, well, it's like, it's, dude, if it's real, it's a $20 to $100 million painting.
I was supposed to say, keep going. I'm just fucking with you. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I know you're just fucking with me. I'm just saying, like, it's insane. Like, I manifested that, because like 3 months prior, I was like, I didn't know I could be an art broker. And then somebody random who knows I'm not an art broker brought me a deal that I could broker, that, and I wanted to broker $1 million, $100 million deals. And it's a potential $100 million deal. One of the last Jackson Pollocks that was sold was for $130 million. So, and most people would say, oh, that's chance. No, I intended. When I heard that I could be an art broker, I was like, I'm going to do that at some point. It might not be my life's mission, but I'm going to create an opportunity where I can sell a painting and make $10 million in like 16 hours of work. So far, I finding buyers for it's the hard part. But like, that is something that I manifested. Like, that is what happened. Nobody, like, how rare is it to have $1 million art piece in the first place? Very rare. And then how rare also is it for somebody to bring somebody who they know is not an art broker an art deal? Like, come on. Like, it's insane. But shit, I forgot where I was going.
Oh, we were talking about rich people. Yeah,
talking to wealthy people. She said this to me on the call. She's like, she's been invited on Shark Tank. She has all these accolades. She's an amazing person. I love her to death. We spent an hour and a half on the phone. And she does mergers and acquisitions. She has a $1 million a month plus consulting firm. She's really good. So if you guys want to sell a business, she's about the best I got. And I'm talking to her. She's like, I've never had anybody talk to me like you. Most people are like ogling over me, or like have this weird energy, like needy energy. And I'm just sitting there like, okay, this, that. I'm talking to her like I talk to everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
You do not give money special treatment, because if you're giving it special treatment, you're putting it on a pedestal. And the thing that millionaires and billionaires hate is when people are weird. They want to hang out with you. They want to bestow their wisdom on you. They are begging to do it. Like, yeah. I literally have to tell the millionaires I hang out with to shut up, that I got to go. Like, I got one. Yeah. I went to his house. We were like cold plunging behind his mansion on the Florida coast. And I'm like hanging out with him, and we're in the water. And like, he wants to keep hanging out. I'm like, I got to go do shit, dude. I'm sorry. Like,
I got shit to do, man.
They want to help.
They really do. It's funny, man, because when I started doing this show, because I know we've done like 450 of these, man. I've met people managing billions of dollars, yeah. And so many millionaires. And eventually, when you do it enough times, they are just regular people. And you start to see that they are totally normal people. There's no reason
they're
to treat
them
differently. Yeah. They're all over the place. I found so many of them.
Everywhere.
Dude. But one of the things my friend said originally is like, oh, why do you want to meet those people? I'm like, well, because they're fucking awesome. That's why they're rich, typically, right? They tend to be doing something right. And they think they're doing something wrong, which is terrible. I don't understand that at all. But I've noticed that my life has changed drastically now when I'm going into a new room and stuff like that, because other people do oogle over people. And I'm just like, what's up, dude?
Just a normal human being. Like, if we were to really boil it down, they're a spirit in a meat suit. And so is everybody else in the room. They're no different. They literally just have a different number in their bank account. And money is completely made up. Money is not real. No money is real. It literally has value because we agree it has value. If we all stopped agreeing that it has value, like a really good episode of Rick and Morty is whenever he sent the dollar from being equal to one of itself to equal to zero of itself, and it completely plummeted. That's exactly how it works. It's money is literal fucking magic. It's
Yeah,
pretend.
it is pretend.
And it all it is a store of time and effort. That's it. It's a store of value, which is what value is for most people, is like time and effort. Like, how can I pay somebody to put their effort in to accomplish a thing? And how can I pay someone else to save me time? That's really all you're ever buying. Like, what else? Like, I don't want to put in the effort to cut my hair. I'm going to pay somebody else to put in the effort to cut my hair. Right? I don't want to put in the effort to walk. So I'm going to pay the gas station money for gasoline for my car so it can move. Like, that's all you're ever buying. I just realized that. So if that's not true, I just made that up just right now because it sounded good.
That's what's,
But
well,
it
it
could
sounded
totally
insightful,
not be. Yeah.
man.
Yeah.
So, say I might
I
have to
don't
reflect upon that, but
know.
you
I mean,
just made
like
it up. That's
most
cool.
everything that exists was made up.
Oh, yeah. Especially
So,
politics, right? They're just making shit up as they go. It took me a while to realize
it's
that,
all
too. It's like
politics.
nobody fucking knows what they're doing for the most part. Everybody's making shit up as they go.
Yeah. And that's one of the beautiful things that I kind of realized. It's like when you work on your mind, it's like I have a mentor. He makes a lot of money and he's starting this new program and he has his own doubts and guilts. And he feels bad for charging people for teaching them how to become wealthy. And it's like, if all you did was work on your mind and get clear on your vision, all of the actions would be clear. Because here's the other thing, you're a spiritual being. You created the entire universe so that way you could create bodies that you could live in and experience the universe in. That also means that you created all the information that exists. That's what the word remember means. It means to become a member of again. When you remember something, you have an aha moment. You're like, oh yeah, you're just becoming a member of the same information which you once created, which is also you. And anything you have to be convinced of, like all the news and propaganda and all that, the way you can tell if something's not true is if you have to be convinced of it. Once you gather all the information and you're like, oh my God, this makes sense, then more often than not, it's usually true. You can feel it in yourself. You don't have to have somebody come over here and convince you. But whenever you have to be constantly berated with beliefs repetitively until it sticks in your mind as something that might be true for you, that's likely not true. And that's what remembering is. You're becoming a member of again. That's all it is.
Sounds like a lot
Because
of
you created all.
responsibility, man. If I created
Well,
everything.
that, yeah, that's exactly what it is. Because one thing that I got from the $100 million lady, she was like, I can't control everything. And I'm like, that's a fucking belief. You most certainly can control everything. There are people on this planet who control everything. The Illuminati and the family of 300 or whatever it is, they control all of the politics. They control all of the wars. They control all the economics. They control all the beliefs of most people on Earth. That level of control exists. Why can't you have it and do better with it? Like, that's the whole reason why I do what I do. And so I can create, I don't need to be the power. I want to go experience shit and do fun stuff, right? I don't need to be the powerful person who's in the family of 300 or whatever. But what if I could create people who can change the world that way, who keep evil people from doing that kind of stuff to the world? And that's what I can do. That's a fundamental belief. I can control anything which I take responsibility over. And that's why you said it's a lot of responsibility. It is. All I do all day is just find ways to take responsibility for things so I can have control over. That's all business is. That's all life is. To the degree which you don't take responsibility is the degree which you don't have the results that you want. If you show me anything in your life that's not going how you want,
I was
I
about to
can
say,
show you exactly how you caused it.
that is a damn good statement. It really is,
Yeah.
because it is so true, right? Like, Just thinking through it one time, I was like, oh, damn, that's a reframe in the brain. It's like, oh, yeah, I suppose I should. Well, I mean, one of those things, like, obviously, you know, Jocko and all that shit, extreme accountability, right? I certainly live by that. I always have, because, you know, way back when I mentioned the car crash story, it's like my life changed because that used to be somebody else's fault. Somebody else hit me with the car. Eventually, I was just like, you know what, Tim, you left work 5 minutes early. Guess whose fault it is now? And that
Or
changed
you weren't
everything.
driving like John Wick, you know?
Yeah, well,
Whatever it is.
let's see, I don't know if I could have got away from that one. I mean, it was one of those things like, oh shit. but anyways, what there's a victim mindset, right? Where it's somebody else's fault. As soon as I was just like, you know what, I left work early, it's my fault. And then everything became my fault. So if it's my fault, it's my responsibility to fix it. Like, guess what?
It's cause over versus effect two.
Yeah. Because you have control
And
over that. If it's your fault, if it's your responsibility, all of a sudden it's something you can change.
And that's the work I do. If you want to ask, you know, that's it. That's all we're doing is how do we become more cause over every single thing that's in our life? Because the only people who say, oh, I don't want that level of control over my life, don't believe in themselves. Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you want to be intentional about what? And I want to be abundantly clear. This is one thing I got from the $100 million chick. She's like, I don't want that level of control in my life. And that's actually a point of clarity. Most people think that that's like a weakness, and it's not. She's like, I don't want that level of strictness. Well, that's a point of clarity. You can be 10 out of 10 and literally select a whole chunk of your life that you want to be on a whim. That's fine. But it has to be a decision that you made. Most people let things happen on a whim because they don't know what, like they got all these horses and they don't know how to take them by the reins. The idea is like, how do I take life by the reins and then choose which reins I do and don't focus on? Then you hire out the ones that still need to be done and ignore all the ones that don't. And then that's the spice of your life. You chose the spice of your life. And then people are all then like, well, if I was to do that, I feel like life would be less fun. Why? You could play even bigger games. You'd have less to think about. You could do whatever you want. Like for me, I want to get so wealthy and like, have everything so systematized that for a year of my life, I can go live out in the woods with just a knife and an axe and maybe a backpack and a pot for boiling water. And that's all I own. And I just go live out in the woods and survive. And if I die, I die. That's fine. But like,
sounds like the book Hatchet I had to read in like sixth grade.
That's my favorite shit, dude. I was
Is it
like,
really?
Yes, I want to be that. Yes. Yes.
I thought that's funny.
Exactly that.
I enjoyed the book too. That's hilarious.
Yeah. It's so
I
good,
was,
dude.
I was gonna be like, is there a plane crash involved, man? Because this sounds like a familiar
that'd be
story.
Great. That would make it really convenient. I wouldn't have to choose when it happens, you know? Well, I will be learning how to fly a plane, so that might be the thing that happens.
Well,
but
shit.
Like you can choose anything. And if you want part of your, like, I can't, okay.
Oh, dude, that
I
is
don't
such a
want
good
to
point.
Control.
Like, you could choose anything. Like, a bunch of my
Yes.
friends complain about shit all the time. And I'm like, okay, change it.
They're
And they're like,
choosing to complain.
And yeah, exactly. And they're like, I can't change it because of this, this, and that. And I'm like, yeah, you can. You can change anything, man.
Yeah.
Just fucking make it happen. Stop complaining about shit and change it. Like, that's it. There's a solution right in front of you. Do the work.
And the thing is, it's like, momentum, like we talked about this, it's like when you have a clear vision, you can just move. You just move.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Like momentum is just, it's not a lack of having it. Like imagine, who's that guy in the X-Men movies who has the Juggernaut, where like his superpower is momentum, like unstoppable momentum. Like it's not about removing obstacles. It's becoming so powerful that they don't matter. And that they become irrelevant. And by playing a game so big that all the small things of life, like I have a presentation, by the way, if anybody wants this, it's a 3 hour long presentation that I gave. Part of it I explain, because here's, oh, this is so cool.
I was gonna say,
I can't believe it.
I'll spend three more hours with you, John. Why not? Shoot it over, man.
but the lady, I'm not using her name because I haven't asked if it was okay, but she had Elon sleeping on her couch multiple times because she was dating Elon's right-hand man back in 2008 when he was like destitute and had no money and he was couch surfing. And I don't know. That's just a really cool story. but in the presentation, I talk about why Elon moves so quickly. And it's not that he moves quickly; it's just that he's expanded the time horizon. And like, imagine this is a time horizon that's 1,000 years. Okay, and this right here is like your time horizon, which is like maybe a couple of years. You know, most people's shit is like 30 days. That's why you see all these like offers where it's like, get this result in 90 days in 45 days, right? Like that's how people think. They think super, super short term. You don't need any coaching if your vision's 1,000 years.
Yeah. To reiterate your point, like the richest dude I ever had on this show, and I used to ask the same question at the end, and I stopped asking you because you made me feel like a moron. But anyways, it's like, what are you looking to accomplish over the next 12 months? And he just looked at me, he got all stern, and he was just like, you can't accomplish anything meaningful in 12 months. And that was his answer. And I haven't thought the same since. And I'm just like, well, shit, better have a longer vision. I've been thinking wrong this whole damn time. This is the richest guy I've ever met. I'm going to take that insight and I'm going to not let go of it, right? Because out of hundreds of people, hundreds of people, he's the only person that said, fuck you to that question.
Yeah, I like
I mean,
that.
In nicer terms, of course.
Yeah. But to go back, before I lose my train of thought, because I will, and then I'll shut up. But this is your timeline. And imagine this is the base of an equilateral triangle, which would then mean that the peak of your success is equal to the distance of like the potential peak of your accomplishment is equal to the time in which you have set aside to accomplish it. So the longer you think, like the bigger the timeline you think on, the larger the potential accomplishment. But the thing is, most people aren't willing to die trying for their goals because they don't have a goal that's worth dying trying for. And with this whole framework that I use to build vision, if you have a vision that's 1,000 years, that means that you're going to die before you ever see the fruits of your labor. But it also makes it much, much easier to suffer any amount of pain and forgo any amount of pleasure to accomplish what you want. And that's what works for Elon. So that's one form. This is the thing. That's a hook. Earlier I said, you're going to know the two types of vision. I never answered that. I'm
it was
answering
20
it right
minutes
now.
Ago, man. Keep going.
Yeah. So you can either extend it so far that you know you'll never accomplish it. Because the thing is, a lot of people like accomplish everything they want by like 50, and then they retire. And then their next 50 years is just this downwards slope. They had their peak. And now they're going to spend however long, you know, that whole plateau, you know, I'm going to reach my goals and then I'll be comfortable. They're just choosing when they're deciding to die. Because statistically, if you're like this, you're non-existence. You don't exist. You're not imposing on the universe. And the universe isn't imposing it on you. Okay? So if somebody is like this or this, they are dying. Because if you're not growing, by definition, you're dying. There's no middle ground. There is no, like a cruising lane in life. You're either going somewhere or you are not. And if you're going somewhere very, very slowly, it's effectively dying because you're watching yourself not accomplish anything at the speed of your potential. And whenever you extend your timelines, it's much easier to be detached from the outcomes of what happens in a day. When you're thinking 1,000 years, that's 365,000 days. So what if today is not okay? So all of the pain and the sorrow falls away and it just doesn't matter. And you will die trying. You'll be in the middle of working towards your goals when you die. You will not accomplish everything, which means that you can't have a plateau. And you will constantly, that's why you, like Larry Gagosian, one of the guys I love, he's a billionaire art dealer. He's 79. And when asked about retirement, they're like, hey, when do you think you're going to retire? And he's like, I don't know what else I would do. This is what I do. That's the same thing Sam Zell said. He sold his real estate empire for $39 billion. They're like, are you ever going to retire? And he's like, what else would I do? That's how you know. Now, that's one type of vision. And then there's the Elon vision. The I don't know what else I would do is you found the thing that you can't stop doing. The Elon vision is, I have a goal so big, I will do anything to accomplish it. And it feels real to me to accomplish. And obviously, like a lot of other areas in his life suffer. Like his personal relationships suck. Like he has a new wife every 3 years or whatever. He's like got 47 kids because he's got to repopulate Mars, you know, whatever it is. So like a lot of things aren't perfect, but they become so minuscule because on a 1,000-year timeline, his family is going to be dead and gone and nobody will remember. But the things which he created will live beyond him. And then there's the other thing is like with Sam Zell, like he's just like, I love doing real estate. I just want to keep doing more deals and I don't want to stop. And then he becomes one of the wealthiest people ever to walk the planet. And by what? Because he, like, that's what the lady, the $100 million lady, she doesn't have a big ass grand vision like Elon does. She just wants to keep playing the game. So you either find a game that you can't stop playing, or you find something that is so unbelievably large and heavy that the gravity of it pulls you towards it. Those are your two options. That's it. That's how you create vision. There's no other options. I've looked, and I'll keep looking. If I find one, I'll let you know. But this is like all I do all day. So you save the time. Let me do the work on that, because it's not fun work. I'll tell you, but my God, I can't stop working.
Yeah.
And I'm not even entirely 100% clear on my vision. And it's insane. I went from not being able to work like 2 hours a day to where I work 10 hours a day consistently with no problems. And I'm efficient and I'm effective and I get shit done. And that's what happens when you're clear on your vision. And I'm not like, that's where it sounds like I'm arrogant, but no, like I want you to have that. I want everybody who's listening to that to feel that. So when you wake up in the morning, you get to work. And there's nothing in the way. You shower, whatever. I didn't shower before I went to work today. I showered last night so I could wake up and get to work. Like everything's from the point of view of how can I get back to work, right? Always. Like there's, I just want to keep going. And most people never feel that in their life. And it's such a gift. It is such a gift, dude. And it's okay if some people think I'm arrogant. That's the risk I run by talking like this. But for the people who don't, I want you to have that gift. It's unbelievable. Just you wake up, no problem. Like my car breaks down on a road trip, on a 1,200 mile road trip, 1,500 mile road trip. I'm halfway there. My car breaks down in the middle of nowhere. And I feel fear for about 30 minutes. And then it's gone. I feel nothing about it. And I felt some guilt because my car broke down. I felt guilty to my friend and then we cleared it up. But it's like, why can't that be the operating basis? Why can't you just like something happens and cool, it doesn't knock you off the horse. For most people, it just knocks them right off the horse. And you know, cool. I might say what?
I was about to say, I think most people are trying to make things happen way faster than they have any right to happen, right? Kind of your point earlier where make $1 million in 90 days, right? Like that's why marketers do it, because people buy it because that's what they want. They want short-term results. Like one of the biggest shifts for me, man, was like, I'm going to play this game forever, so I don't need it to happen fast. And when I slowed down, I actually went so much faster because I wasn't trying to make it go fast, right? Like this is an infinite game. I can't sprint to a $10 billion portfolio, which is my 10-year goal. I need to run. Mm-hmm. And I need to run a consistent pace. I need to fucking know what I'm doing, right? I need to not slow down anymore because I was sprinting before. Like, I got tired, man. Can't sprint all day. But you can run a marathon all day. And it's an infinite game.
Or you can figure out how you can get stronger legs.
That too. Well.
Because your light jog could be equal to somebody else's dead sprint.
Yeah.
You could expand your capacity for accomplishment.
Well, that's what happens when you slow down naturally, right? When you slow down, all of a sudden you can go faster because you're not trying to rush it.
Well, you're also telling the universe, I'm not worried.
Yeah,
you're frantically
there, trying
to get things done.
Oh, dude, I
you're
know.
Saying, I'm afraid I'm not going to get there. And then you put the fear out and the fear comes back. Where if you're like, cool, my bank account's zero, credit cards are maxed. Because this happened to me with the whole car ordeal, which was like 5 days ago. It's like I had money in Stripe But all of the money was locked up because it was sent to they sent it to the wrong account that wasn't associated with anything I have. They just sent it to a wrong account for some reason. Like, not mine. So I have all my cash in my business is now tied up. And I have to pay all this money to get my car. At least I had to pay $600 to get it towed to the nearest dealership, which was an hour and a half away. So like, I'm just like bleeding money. Not from my perspective, it didn't feel like that. I'm like, okay, cool. Whatever. Pouring money into, like, whatever. Who cares? Because what am I going to do? Go broke? I mean, my Airbnb's paid for. I at least got 30 days, you know, to figure something out. Like, so far, it hasn't not worked, you know? So let me chill out. You know, I'll let the fear pass. Cool. Yeah, it's natural to feel a little bit of fear when you break down and you cannot see lights. There's no lights in any direction. It's just darkness. It's pitch black on a long desert highway, like in Hotel California. And I don't know. But that's the gift I want to give people. It's like how I get to feel every day. I want everybody to have it because they would create so much good in the world. And it would be so much easier. I mean, life doesn't have to be hard. One of my favorite books is by, what's his name? Whatever his name is, it's called Life Was Never Meant to Be a Struggle. Stuart Wilde. That's who it's by. And Stuart Wilde, Frederick Dodson is a really good one, too. I learned a lot from him. But it's like, there's this idea that we're sold that we have to work really, 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 really hard to get what we want. And even wealthy people say that, but I don't think that's actually what's happening. I think they're putting a firm intention out into the world, and your intention has to be connected with energy. So it doesn't rightly matter what you're actually working on. You ever have like money flow to you that came from something that totally wasn't related to what you were working on in that moment?
Of course, yeah.
You were putting the energy out, and then you had an intention attached to it. And the direction, like, what, as long as it's the right energy in the right direction, who cares? And that's where you see all these people who like pull in, you know, pulled in $1 million idea, for example. How the fuck did I do that? You know, that stuff blows my mind, the fact that I did that. But it's like, and they're like, you probably can name innumerable times where people do something that seems unbelievable or like magic from the outside. And that's all it is intention plus your energy. It's not effort. It's how can you be more effective? So what is it? Effort doesn't equal outcomes. Efficiency equals outcomes. Hard work doesn't equal outcomes. No, it's efficient work. This is part of my presentation. I'm trying to remember what's in it. It's intention instead of effort. It's not effort doesn't create outcomes. Intention creates outcomes. And hard work doesn't create, I don't know. Watch the presentation. I'm not going to remember it. That's why I put it in the presentation. I have too much stuff going on that I can talk about. I don't know, dude. Has this been fun at all? You
I've enjoyed it quite a bit. I don't think I said this part, but I mean, there's a big difference between being busy and being productive. I think a lot of entrepreneurs out there, they're just busy because they think they need to be busy. That doesn't mean they're driving the needle forward at all. They're doing shit because it gives them dopamine.
It's a form of procrastination.
Mm-hmm.
Because what happens is you feel guilty for procrastinating, so then you work, and you know that the work isn't going to produce the outcomes that you want. But you do the work anyway because you want to feel productive. You want to try and get rid of the guilty feeling that you had for procrastinating. But all you're doing is now you just worked hard, stupidly, and didn't create anything. And then now you add more guilt. And then that's where people get stuck in procrastination all the time. Procrastination is just a bunch of guilt that's built up of all the times that you procrastinated. That's literally it. Or it's all the times that you didn't do something that you know you should have done, or did something that you know you shouldn't have done. And because you have that guilt, whenever you have guilt, guilt is a wealth suppressor, because if you have guilt, you will stop yourself and sabotage your own actions. Like, for instance, the reason why Hitler got killed in World War II isn't because he wasn't smart and could have gotten away, but he had to pull in a way to stop himself. He had to pull in ethics on himself because he was being extremely unethical in everything that he was doing, all the evil that he was doing. And I'm pretty sure he killed himself, right?
Mm-hmm.
With his girlfriend, and he had to pull in ethics on himself. And that's what you're doing whenever you're procrastinating. You're saying, all these times I didn't do something I know I should have done, I'm stopping myself from doing more because I'm worried I'm going to do wrong again. I'm worried I'm going to hurt someone again, or be rude again, or not fulfill again, or not keep my word again. So then I just procrastinate out of fear of that happening again. And if you, like, that's actually the first part of the process that I do, is like we get rid of all of those guilts. Because if you can reverse the flow, what we do is we stop the inflow of negative things by finding how we caused it. And if we can find the cause point of all the negative things that are flowing to us, then we can just stop it. It's that simple. And if we do that in all areas, we can reverse the flow to where, you know, like, let's say, I'll give you an example. What's his name? Henry. Don't tell him I forgot his name. He's one of my clients. I'm like sitting down with him and like he's wanting a refund. He's like, watch me hop on your podcast and talk about clients wanting a refund. I don't know if that says anything about me or not. Maybe it does, who knows? But,
yeah. Honesty, at least, you know?
Yeah. Well, we're talking and he's like, because I knew he was going to come to the call and do this. I can feel this kind of stuff. And he's like, I don't, I'm like, so where do you want to go from here? Like with coaching. And he's like, I don't want to continue, but maybe in the future. I'm like, okay, so why would you want to do it in the future if you wouldn't want to do it now? He's like, I don't know. I don't. And I'm like, okay, this dude's so lying right now. Cause like we had so many good calls together. I know there's something up. So I'm like, okay, got it. Well, what's wrong? And he didn't really list out anything that was wrong with the process. He's like, well, I'm not doing it. And I feel bad about that. I'm like, got it. And then we look at it and he used the tool for two things. I'm like, okay, well, why don't we look at what's good has happened? Like, what are some good things that have happened since we started working together? He's like, well, I got a new sales job opportunity because he's in sales and it's paying way more and I get way more leads. I have more money in the bank account. I told him when we started working together, I was like, dude, you're going to make like two extra grand just in the first month of us working together. He made $1,800 extra from the previous month. So I was close. Sorry, I'm not a freaking wizard and didn't get that exact. But the reason why I'm sharing this with you is because he did the tool. And we looked at the tool and we looked at all the wins that he had. And the exact things that it's called karmic reversal, reversing karma, reversing flows. The exact things that he had good happen in his life were the exact opposite of the karma that he removed. So he was like, I'm inflowing a lack of opportunity, and he cleared that. And then he got a much better sales opportunity. He said, I'm inflowing a lack of money. And then he cleared that. And then he made more money that month. And I'm like, okay, so explain to me how that's not connected to the results that you got. And he's like, well, I don't know. I just can't believe it. And I'm like, okay, that's fair. I appreciate you sharing that with me. It is hard to believe how powerful you are once you see how easy it is to create results.
It is.
And then the thing that I wanted to share from that is that like all of this work is subtle. Because if every time we had, like when we're talking about manifesting stuff, if every time we had a thing in our mind and it just manifested, you know, I want an apple and I have an apple in my hand. I want $1 million in my bank account. I immediately have $1 million. That would take away the whole point of life. that it would just, you constantly always have what you want. Whenever you're manifesting, the way it works is you set an intention, and then immediately you're going to be presented with all of the challenges you need to overcome to get the thing that you wanted. It's not, I just create for the heck of it, but rather, how can I create a game to get what I want? And what that's what most people get wrong with manifestation is, like, they think it's this like hunky-dory thing and that there's no challenges. And I'm just gonna magically wish everything into existence. Kinda, but like the challenges, it's the ups and downs that we asked for. And you will be presented with challenges to the degree of what you asked for. I asked for, I wanna do $12,500.02 cash in the first 2 weeks of March. And I put a firm intention out there. And I had to prove my intention. My car broke down. I had every opportunity to say, oh, I have every reason not to accomplish that. But instead, I moved it out of the way. And so far, I've done 10 grand in revenue. It's not 10 grand in cash yet, but I'm fairly close, like just numbers wise, to the thing that I said that I wanted to go get. And like, I don't share this stuff to show off. I don't share this stuff because I think I'm the bee's knees. I'm a guy, and I learned some stuff, and maybe this stuff will be helpful to you. That's not the point. It's because most people don't have reality on how they can create. 4 weeks ago, I couldn't get myself to work. I was making no money. And I was like really down in the dumps about it. And I was rationalizing all my decisions to make myself feel better about where I was. And I've been doing like mental work for like 3.5 years, like 2 hours a day. So like
I was about to say, how did that happen?
that was one of my downs, right? Like you have ups and downs, and it's not perfect. It's more about how quickly do you get back on the horse. Right. And that was the longest I had been off the horse in a while. But I had to learn a lesson. I learned a hard lesson. I had a hard conversation with my friend. And I was becoming a risk to the relationship. And it snapped me out of all the dumb shit I was doing. So I needed to have that because otherwise I would have been going subpar at everything ever since then. Like you will pull in the exact challenges you need. That was the challenge I needed. Because one of my biggest wishes is that I would just work productively all day long, but I had to pull in the challenge that would give me the opportunity to create that. It's like if people believe in God and they pray. I heard this the other day. This was fantastic. This is exactly how manifestation works. Whenever you're praying to God, do you think, like, let's say you're praying for patience. Do you think God gives you patience? Or does he create situations that give you the opportunity to be patient?
Definitely the second one.
Right. And that's it. That's all it is. That's all creation is like most people just see it as, oh, things keep getting harder and it's not working. It's totally working. You probably set out like 47 intentions, and that's why you have 47 different problems that popped up. That's why we do all the mental work and we get clear on the vision so we know exactly what to intend. So we handle one large problem at a time instead of having like 100 problems at a time. And it clears the path. So it's like instead of fighting all like 47 medium level goblins, we just fight one goblin boss at a time, right? And it makes life a lot simpler. And it makes it so that way you can put your, you know, if I want to go snowboarding or something, like I don't have to be like constantly guilty over this problem. Cool, I'm making progress on the one problem I have. Let's go find the next big problem to have. That's all it is. You're just climbing the mountain of problems. It's infinite.
I mean, the mountain of problems are infinite. 100%
Yeah.
agreed. And it's, coming to that realization is actually super important. And also realizing how simple scales, simple is just better. And it's oftentimes simplicity, it's like a word or a statement that is so accurate, but it's hard to understand for the observer, right? Like, for example, I
Yeah.
mentioned I had problems with panic and anxiety. And it's like in the solution, everybody will tell you, like, just let it go. And now I'll tell somebody with anxiety, I'll be like, just let it go. And I understand that it's way harder than it sounds. The weight of the context of that statement It's hard to understand, but it's true. All you have to do is let it go and you'll be fine. But understanding that is fucking hard, man.
Yeah, it's difficult. It's a practice. It's a muscle. The letting go muscle is a big one that needs to be trained, like for all of us, me
Yeah.
included. Like it's not it, it's probably one of the harder things to do. Because you all, if you have goals. If you don't have goals, it's like so easy to let go. Because why does it matter? You have nothing you're attached to. Like that's the problem that you're seeing. Like that's the problem. You say, I have goals. I have the intention to have goals. So then you also now are posed with the problem of needing to let go to the degree which you have goals. And the more you can let go, the bigger your goals can be and the larger things you can create. But you asked for it. You had goals at one point. You
You
asked for
asked
that
for
problem.
it.
Yeah.
Oh,
Seriously, that's
I
being
know.
positive.
I know, man. I know. Well, shit, dude, I want to hang out with you for 10 minutes before we wrap up. So I suppose we'll wrap this up because I have a call at 4. So John, man, obviously, I mean,
I
this has been
probably
an
do too.
extremely interesting conversation, man. If anybody wanted to reach out with you, what would be the best way for them to get in touch?
Look me up on Facebook, JOHN space SCHUETTE. John Schutte. If you look me up on Facebook, that's the best place because I will see your messages. You try and reach out anywhere else, you can do that. Or Instagram, which is I am, no, it's the John Schutte. That's my old one. So the John Schutte, JOHNSCHUETTE. So those are the two places you can check me out.
Well, there you have it, everybody. Go check him out. John Schutte. I said your name wrong at the beginning. Now I feel like a dick,
You
but
did.
it's too late.
It's
it's too late. We're recording. All right. Well, there you have it, man. John, thank you so much for giving us that extremely interesting 2 hours. It almost came out to. So that was a lot of fun, man. To those of you out there chasing freedom, remember that freedom is acquired one action at a time. I could have taken 300 quotes from this one, but commit to taking massive action and ponder this one statement. The clarity of your vision is equal to the speed of your creation. You should want what you want and never settle for less. And before you too will be living a life of freedom. So thank you for tuning in, and we'll catch you on the next one.